Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Putting a bow on week three this morning. We've got looking ahead to week four action kicking off right here on NFL Network. It is Jags at Bengals, a battle between number one overall picks. Trevor Lawrence making his Jags primetime debut. Joe Burrow and the Bengals looking hot from week three, ready to steal the show. Bengals want to be talked about. Make it known on Thursday Night Football. Jags, Bengals, week four starts right here. Thursday Night Football, Thursday at 8 p.m. on NFL Network, streaming on the NFL app as well. Welcome to our breakfast table, however you are watching us, wherever you are joining us. We thank you for choosing us this morning. Presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky, as we are sitting here in New York City, the best city in the world. At the end of September, the best weather in the world. It's all great. It's all amazing. We've got lots of great football action highlights to give you. My name's Kay Adams, Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, Golden Tate Super Bowl champion.
What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up?
He is back for more. We've got NFC East highlights to get to. So I know you were taking, you have so many notes in front of you. It's crazy. Cannot wait to get everything you want to take and tell people out there. But let's get to some highlights.
Dak Prescott in a three-piece Frango mint suit. Take it away, Dak.
It feels great, like you said, complete from defense, offense, complimentary football, all the way around, just from halftime, just the way to continue it, the way we communicate it. That was fun. I think that showed just the brotherhood that we're creating and the culture that we're creating within this team, and that's just one, and that's just a step, and that was a big step in the building block of where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish.
A mint three-piece. That's what happens when you have an impressive win in Jerry's World last night over a division rival. A lopsided score. Mm-hmm. Impressive win by the Cowboys. Great defense, great offense. What did we learn from the Cowboys' win over the Eagles?
They have a defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, all summer we sat at this table or we were remote or wherever we were and we took our shots at this Cowboys defense. I particularly called that defense putrid, and we almost had a ticker of counter of how many times I said the word putrid.
It was putrid day on Good Morning Football. I remember that.
Everything was putrid about Cowboys' defense last year.
Yeah.
Not only are they good, I think they're exceeding expectations. They could be really good because they're great at takeaways, but they get to the quarterback. Micah Parsons is a revelation. Two games into his NFL career, I was like, this guy could do something. Three games into it? All right. How did he fall all the way out of the top 10? He's that good. Then you got Osa Odigizua, who was flying all over the field, another rookie. And then there's the Trayvon Diggs story. I mean, look, in the draft last year, Jeff Okuda went 3 overall. C.J. Henderson, who was traded yesterday, went in the top 10. This guy might be the best corner in his entire draft class. They are opportunistic. They are flying all over the field. And here's what I like about them. They are young. I'm mentioning Parsons and Diggs and Odigizua. Anthony Brown out of Purdue is not a 10-year veteran. These are younger players. And it's that crew that gives me hope and confidence that this Cowboys defense can at least hold serve with some of the bigger teams in the league and say, hey, we're here. Tampa Bay didn't go crazy on them. Yes, they put up a lot of yards, but that defense showed up when it had to. And then last week against the Chargers, they were solid. They were even better here. Jalen Hurts looked very confused. The running game was non-existent for the Eagles. They could wear beat Dallas t-shirts all they want. They weren't beating anybody with that defense on the field. It was that good. I was that impressed with the Dallas defense. And not even talking about Dak and how good he looked.
Yeah. I agree with you. But what stood out to me was how physical they were. They were out there hitting on both sides of the ball, and you could just feel it. Like, if you just took the decals off, you could see that that was a division game. Oh, they were bringing the heat all day. And the other thing that I love to see Zeke was running angry.
Nice.
Him and Pollard. So I love to see that run game. And they did exactly what they wanted to do. They controlled the game. And with that defense and a run game like that, you can control games amazingly. So I can't wait to see what they're going to do next. I mean, they're a top-tier team. In my mind right now.
Do you think that's a myth? People be talking, oh, it's a division game, you hit harder. Do you think the Cowboys are hitting harder this week than they were last week against the Chargers? Is that a thing that we talk about? Or does it really happen?
I think it really happens. And I'll tell you why I think it happens. Okay, so when I got traded to Philly, we played Dallas earlier that year, and I thought Dallas was not that good. And I lit him up for, you know, decent amount of yards. I was like, yeah, you know, I love playing them. Then I played him in Philly in a division game, my first game. Wow. I'm talking about all game long. And I was like, is this the same team?
Yeah.
So division opponents, especially these two.
Well, beat Dallas t-shirts probably don't help.
Yeah, little bulletin board
those
material.
Those t-shirts might not age well. I liked them. I think they should wear them again next time. What did we learn from this game? We learned Dallas is way better than Philly. This game could have been a 40-point win. There was a weird thing with Dak, the touchdown on the goal line, and then the fluke touchdown that Fletcher Cox got. And, Peter, if you want to talk about people that were overlooked in the draft, can we talk about the 2016 draft? In the fourth round, they found a quarterback named Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is not really good. He's not exceptionally good. He's great. Let's just set the stage for this. Dak Prescott is tearing up during the national anthem. Every single network there is not only reporting on the injury, they are going to the spot of the injury on the field. This is where Dak broke his leg. I'm standing there right now. He does the pregame. He did it last week. He'll do it next week. A lot of emotional baggage, and then a rivalry game in the home stadium for the first time. He was excellent. Like, one of his cleanest, most efficient games he's ever played. Ball barely hit the ground, completely in control. I don't have for you today, he's in the top five or top eight, but, like, he's in the top. Maybe we can chew on that this week. It's not just this thing. And Philly fans, you make a lot of jokes about Dak this and Dak that. The joke's on you. This guy's not going anywhere for the next decade. He's excellent, and he looked great last night in a night where there was a lot of emotional scar tissue and literal scar tissue in which he said, I was going to get a praying hands tattoo on my ankle scar, but since I knew I'd have to tape it so much, I might mess up the integrity of the tattoo. That's how thorough this guy is. That was a real report, and then he came out and just cleaned the Eagles' clocks. Dak was awesome.
You were
awesome.
Calling the defense putrid in the offseason.
Yep.
I was saying, I don't want Dak to throw 400 times a game. Can we not see that they're not going to win that way? And then week one happened, and he threw 58 times. In the two games since then, he has thrown for 53 times combined in those two games. That's what I want to see, that balance. And I love, we discussed this at length last week when it was Pollard or Zeke. No, Jerry Jones has it right. It's Pollard and Zeke, what they do together as a tandem. I don't care who goes out there and starts, but they obviously had juice yesterday. This is just the second time Zeke's gone over 100 total yards in the Cowboys' last nine games. By the way, both times have been against the Eagles. So I just think they're obviously going to take pressure off Dak. His offense clicks and works better when it's more balanced, which we've seen through the past 2 weeks. And Trace, to get back to the defense, you mentioned all the players, how young they are, how impressed you are. How much credit does Dan Quinn deserve?
A ton. And he has completely given them confidence, but also a new energy to their game. And the defensive scheme that they're running seems to be working as they're getting all these takeaways.
Yeah.
It's a great point. Dan Quinn was an addition to, obviously, Parsons and all these other players on defense.
Yeah.
But to change the scheme completely overnight and say, no, we're going to do this totally different. We're going to run the Seattle defense that I ran there, which, Golden, you were there for, and have a different energy. What kind of energy does Dan Quinn bring to a defense?
He brings a young man's mentality. He's fun. But he's serious. He knows his material, obviously. And when I had him in Seattle, I really enjoyed being around him. And then when he went to Atlanta, he took them to a Super Bowl. And then now in Dallas, I think it's going to be a great relationship for them.
But is he like, he's like rah-rah guy, right? Because you guys are talking about like they're hitting harder, they're whatever. Like, is that Dan Quinn influenced?
It has a piece of it, for sure. But he's fun to be around.
I mean, Hard Knocks, I remember, like, he's very blue. Like, he swears a lot, and I think that's relatable for players. I remember Peter used to come back from trips to Atlanta with these crazy tales about him blasting Rage Against the Machine and having free throw contests. And I mean, like, people dig him. They're obviously hit for him.
Competitive, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And Nick Saban was on while Trevon Diggs had the pick six on the Manning telecast, and he's like, that's what we try to teach him. I'm surprised he fell to 51. Yeah, so are we. Trevon Diggs, awesome player.
Such a great game.
Draft gem right there.
At GMFB, with your thoughts on this game, we'll break down all the games, get you set for Thursday night action as we welcome in Mike Garofolo with some headlines. Mike, welcome to the show and good morning to you. Big offensive weapons, some questions there. What is the timeline for Christian McCaffrey's return? He played on Thursday Night Football a week ago. And could we see Josh Gordon coming to an NFL field near you?
Okay, the timeline for Christian McCaffrey, good morning, by the way, is going to be week to week because the Panthers said yesterday they will not put him on injured reserve as he comes back from that hamstring strain, which is not one of the more severe ones that you're going to see, but you never fully know with hamstrings. So they're going to go week to week on this one. They know he's not going to play this week. Even Matt Rhule, though, said that maybe he'll miss three games. So it's not like not putting him on IR means that he's going to be back within that three-game window. They just hope that's going to be the case. So let's see how this goes for Christian McCaffrey. And if you put him on injured reserve and he's down for 3 weeks, that could have a mental effect on the rest of the team. So the Panthers saying, hey, we're going to keep him alive. We're going to keep open the possibility that he's going to be back in the next couple weeks. We'll see how it goes. You asked about Josh Gordon. He is expected to sign to the Chiefs practice squad. And remember, if you're on the practice squad, you can bounce back and forth. You can be elevated at any time. So the Chiefs expected to bring him in as he's been reinstated by the NFL. Now, remember, he got conditionally reinstated with the Seahawks late last season. He was going to be ready to play within the next couple of weeks. And just as he was about to come back, he violated the terms of his conditional reinstatement. So Gordon worked his way to get all the way back. You see his tweet there from yesterday saying, time to get to work, Chiefs. To work his way all the way back once again to prove that that was just one slip-up that he had last year. We shall see Josh Gordon, whether he suits up for the Chiefs. That's the hope in Kansas City. And how much impact he has. Certainly they have more problems in Kansas City than their receiving core, but the rich get richer, at least in that department.
It's so true. We, of course, you know, we've had this conversation here at this breakfast table about Josh Gordon, wishing him the best off the field before we see what we can do on the field. But it's news for sure. Thank you so much, Mike Garofalo. Talk to you in a bit throughout the show here to give us a headline. We've got to talk about Justin Fields struggling under Matt Nagy's direction. In week three, will he start week four against the Lions? We'll hear what Matt Nagy had to say. Foles? Pardon? What's going
on? Foles was mentioned.
Sure.
What? What?
That guy's gonna start for the Bears right there. Yeah. That's the guy.
He's got a mug.
It's all business.
Old Trapper got a mug, huh?
Welcome back to Good Morning Football. Time for today's Wake Up Call presented by Verizon. Matt Nagy's offensive game plan against the Browns on Sunday. What's a word to use for this? Questionable, polarizing, a lot of negative feelings, ineffective to say the least. Thank you, Kyle. Mm-hmm. Now Nagy, not so sure which of his three quarterbacks is going to be starting in week four. At least he's not saying. Here's what he did say about it all yesterday.
They're all three under consideration right now, you know, in regards to where they're at. So we'll just have to kind of see the next couple days where they're all at. We know where Nick's at health-wise, but we just want to keep an eye on Justin and Andy. And then for us to stay on that and make sure that we have a plan for any of those.
How do you feel, Kyle? Just how do you feel? It's a great question, I know.
Confused. Nick Foles has entered the chat. This is where we're at. I don't want Nick Foles involved in this. Due respect to Foles. It's already complicated enough without bringing in a player whose football legacy is one of the most complicated we've seen in 20 years. Here's why I don't want Nick Foles, because I know what will happen with Nick Foles.
I know damn well.
Nick Foles is starting Sunday for the Bears. Oops, 320 yards and three touchdowns with no picks. You can bet on it. Nick Foles starts the next week. Oops, two interceptions, a fumble, and the Bears lose. I love you, Nick Foles. Like, it's the last thing we need in this situation is a more complicated factor. I don't want it. I don't want it. And Golden, I know you played with Nick Foles. Am I on with this? I mean, you want a playoff game with Nick Foles against Chicago.
Yeah. Like you said, it complicates things.
Wildly.
Because we know the story. We know what's going to happen. But I understand the coach. I mean, if I'm him, I'm not giving the Lions, who they play, I'm not giving them any info, any intel. I'm going to make them prepare for all three of them at this point. So I'm going to look. The Bears need some type of an advantage, and so if you can get the Lions to spend, you know, 45 minutes on game planning three different quarterbacks, then so be it. So I don't have a problem with on a Tuesday. He's not telling you who's going to play.
Who should he start?
They all get a clean bill of health. Who do you start?
I think you go with Andy.
You go with Andy. Back to Andy.
If he's ready, you play him because.
I mean, I think so.
Okay.
And then I think you still have your select plays for Fields.
Okay.
And then things hit the fan or something. You put Nick.
And if Andy can't go, what do you do? Do you dial up the creativity just a smidge and play Justin Fields again?
I don't mind playing Justin Fields because it's, you know, the Lions are not the Browns.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
For sure.
You know, that makes it better. But look, I'm glad I'm not a head coach.
No.
I'm glad I'm not.
It's one of the hardest questions and the hardest segments
really
we've ever had on the
show.
I don't know what you do.
Peter, what do you got? What do you think?
I just think, you know, all things aren't equal, right? Like, Nagy's
great
behind the eight ball and so much right now. He's got to dig out of a hole. You got people on other networks saying he should be fired. You've got him showing up late to his press conference. People on Twitter saying, I think this, he might not show up. They might have fired him. Like, so we're dealing from like a burning inferno right now. So anything he does is going to be now, you know, dissected so much of the microscope. To your point, you put Andy Dalton in, you could breathe a little bit. You know, okay, Dalton, all right, we're going to be okay against Detroit. We're going to compete. If Fields comes in and it's the same thing as it was last week, and I know no one's blaming Justin Fields for yesterday for Sunday's performance, but maybe Justin Fields wasn't ready, and maybe Justin Fields, that wasn't the ideal situation in Cleveland, and maybe that's why he didn't play against the Rams, because it could have been even worse. We don't know.
Talk about it, Schrager.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't know if just getting above breathing, like, okay, we get above the water a little bit here. Andy's a quarterback. We know we can at least put up some points and we can run our offense. Let's get a win maybe, and and maybe we're 2-2 going into week five and it's not the burning inferno. But gosh, yesterday might have been the worst day in Chicago sports since Michael Jordan retired, the way it was.
Steve Bartman.
I mean, really, it felt like Steve Bartman. Yeah. So Nagy's against, like, the wall right now. He's in a corner now. You know what you're going to get from Dalton and Foles. You're going to get something. Fields is the complete unknown. And after last week, like, do you double down and then they say, okay, well, this guy can't coach this team anymore. I don't know.
You've had a day to like, bake this over. Then, like, Nagy was the conversation in the sports NFL landscape yesterday. Do you have any different feelings towards it? And, like, I mean, both things can – it's not just Nagy's fault.
Sure.
And it's not all on Justin Fields. But 6 of 20 is not just Nagy. Sorry.
The one thing we don't see in this conversation is – here's the cut-ups on all the different networks and the film gurus of Justin Fields being bad and inaccurate. That's why I don't think he was good. I don't think he was bad. I just don't know what the hell that was. Here's the good thing for the Bears and for Nagy and for everybody.
Okay.
Say what you want about the Matt Nagy era. He does. He kind of owns the Lions. Trubisky used to be at the Lions every year. Like, they do really well against Detroit. And Golden, I do think you're onto something as pertains to maybe Fields starting again. Is that there is no Myles Garrett. There is no Jadeveon Clowney. This is a totally different matchup. Nagy has been great against the Lions, which is why I would say if Fields has a clean bill of health, which we're hearing he does, his x-rays are negative, he says his hand is fine, I would start Fields again even if Dalton was healthy. Because you also have, all right, let's say Dalton comes in and you start him and he starts the next couple of months and he's fine and they win some, lose some. Like, Justin Fields sits with that for months and months and just marinates on that absolute nuclear disaster. Like, there's a psychological toll to be
but
taken there, too.
But don't double down on it against
Maybe
Detroit.
It's a risk. But I'm going to bet on Detroit being 0-3 and not Cleveland that I think we can cleanse the palate. I really do.
I would also say this to everyone on Twitter and everyone like, say, roll him out. Do what he does best. Roll him out. Like, trust me, like, I'm sure they wanted to roll him out and do bootlegs. And I don't think Nagy was like, I'm going to try to get my
quarterback. What's the answer? Why wouldn't they then? No one has that.
But is that Justin Fields? Justin Fields is not Lamar Jackson, right?
Like, he's not Lamar Jackson.
He's not Trey Lance either.
He's obviously more mobile than Andy, though.
He could do some things, but he throws first.
He wasn't going to run around Clowney and Garrett in that game. You saw the way that pass rush was.
Do you have the answer to that question or a theory?
I am not even close to an offensive coach.
I know.
But it did feel like, you know, the second he snapped the ball, it was all coming in on him, and it's like, just go down the fetal position. Like, I don't know what the answer was, but the simple response of, wait a second, why don't you run the bootleg? Like, I don't know if the bootleg works
what do you
in
think,
that situation.
Golan?
Yeah, on the field, the scheme, like, why didn't they move Fields around?
Yeah, I think it needs to be a collective effort, of course, and if I'm trying to run the ball as much as possible with a young quarterback, and I'm trying to hit the for sure matchup.
Yes.
And whenever I see one safety and my best receiver, I'm throwing it to him. That's point blank in the story. And then I'm going to hit you with a play action, get him outside of the pocket when I feel like I can seal the edge. And if I don't, I'm going to be chipping away at Myles Garrett all game. I'm
going to
be cutting him.
They weren't blocking.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, to me, I think it was common sense. But, like, I'm going to just keep messing with Myles Garrett and Clowney. And we're going to wear them out, and eventually something's going to break through. But, like, for you not to complete 6 passes?
I know. There's a Bears fans thing right now. I have a young quarterbacks for dummies thing.
Finish that sentence. Sorry.
That's just unacceptable. That's it. I mean, 6 passes.
Who's that on?
Coaching's got to put your players in a better situation. But let's remember, like, Cleveland's defense is tough.
Okay, got it.
Like, they've been tough for years.
Yeah, and now they're tougher than ever. The reason this story is so vitriolic is that it takes every armchair coach at home who played some high school football, mm-hmm. and they're throwing out some, you got to chip them. You got to keep the tight end in. And
113 personnel.
Let's do some screens. You know, yeah. like there's a lot of everyone volunteering, like, I'm calling it like rookie quarterbacks for dummies. Easy completions, rollouts. And yet, I still haven't heard the answer of why Nagy didn't do any of that stuff. And I don't, because he said yesterday, he goes, I'm not an idiot. People are saying the game plan made it look like one.
And it's the same exact conversation in New York with Zach Wilson. It's the same exact conversation.
Why aren't they?
Guess what? These are rookie quarterbacks. It ain't easy. That's all I'll say. Like, it's the same exact conversation. Why aren't they trying this with Wilson?
Yeah.
They're trying, trust me.
Well, Selva's joining us now on the West Coast with the news.
What's going on there, Kay and guys? And I'm just curious for Golden. I know he was watching closely that Angry Run segment. Like, what was your thought bubble saying at that moment that you heard Kyle say that Madison was one of the pounding fathers? Like, what was going through your head when you saw that?
I was like, I like the creativity right there. I like that. I was impressive. Like, yeah. On his feet, just boom, spitting it out. The energy. Mm-hmm. I need whatever you took this morning.
Yeah, I got you, buddy. I got you.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
Old Trapper beef jerky.
That's right. The teriyaki Old Trapper every time. Well, you know.
That's what it does. Yes, absolutely. But six straight minutes of pure energy. That was a lot of fun to watch. Now, sad to say for Peter, you're not going to like this following news item, my friend. Here's why. The highly anticipated Darnold to Arnold connection that we were hoping to see in Carolina that we so badly needed and wanted is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's right, because tight end Dan Arnold and a 2022 third round pick are headed to Jacksonville in exchange for cornerback CJ Henderson and a 2022 fifth round pick. Carolina looking to replenish their secondary after corner JC Horn was placed on injured reserve with a foot injury. Henderson was the ninth overall pick for the Jaguars in the 2020 NFL draft. Well, the Broncos losing another wide receiver as KJ Hamler was lost for the year after suffering a torn ACL in his left knee in the win over the Jets. Head coach Vic Fangio saying Hamler suffered other injuries to the knee as well. The Broncos already without Jerry Jeudy will miss several more weeks with a high ankle sprain. NFL Network's Mike Garofalo reporting 49ers corner Josh Norman has been released from the hospital. Norman suffering two bruised lungs along with tissue damage in the loss to the Packers. This according to NFL Network insider Ian Rapoport. Ian adds Norman is in good spirits and hopes to play next week against the Seahawks. And Bengals wide receiver Tyler Boyd says the Steelers threw in the towel at the end of Cincy's win over the Steelers. Boyd saying, quote, the last plays of the game for them, they gave up. You could see it. They had three drops in a row. Now, Boyd went on to say, quote, they portrayed to the whole nation on TV what they were about and how they gave up. Those were some pretty strong words from Boyd after that win, Kay.
Super strong words. Thank you so much, Will Selva. We appreciate you. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We've got lots of guests to get to, but it is Tuesday, Will, so that means it's time to put in your waiver claims for week four. Here is some Good Morning Fantasy. Get the claims in for a quarterback named Kirk Cousins. Talked about him on Sunday with Rich Eisen. People are sleeping on him. He's such a value on daily fantasy. No interceptions so far this season. The fourth highest scoring quarterback this whole year. 8 touchdowns, no picks. This is like an MVP campaign that he's rocking right now. He's thrown for over 300 yards a game. He's ahead of guys like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in fantasy scoring so far. And with the talent this team has on offense, I think he'll be prolific all season long. You got KJ Osborne, Peter Schrager's favorite. He's going to come along.
Big third down conversion.
Yeah,
KJ Osborne,
I think he's the wide receiver three. He's really turning
it up.
Yeah, picking it up. And, you know, they didn't even have Dalvin Cook, and they were still getting it done. If you're streaming him, play him. I'll give you another quarterback in case you can't get Cousins. You should have your eye on Sam Darnold. I know I'm a Carolina homer or favorite or bandwagoner, fine, but he's been a top 12 quarterback through 3 weeks, throwing for just under 300 yards a game, three scores on the ground, mind you. What is that? I think without McCaffrey, the Panthers are going to lean on his arm a little bit more over these next couple weeks, and he'll have opportunities to put up some points. He's got Dallas. He's going to have to score a lot against them. He's got Philly, and he's got DJ Moore, and he's got Terrace Martin. I mean, he could have Golden Tate on that team if maybe.
Talk about it. I'm available.
He's available.
Single.
Call my friend Golden. Next, let's bring up Cordarrelle Patterson. Is this a broken record? Yeah, it is. I talked about him last week in the same spot at the same time. He is still under 50% rostered on NFL.com. What are we doing, guys? He's a running back. He also has dual eligibility as a receiver in some leagues as well. He's a focal point of this Falcons offense, a PPR monster. He is ninth at running back. Cordarrelle Patterson, you guys, has more points than Nick Chubb through 3 weeks. So grab him before it is too late. Dual ability.
Can't find Kyle Pitts on the field, but a lot of Patterson.
We'll talk about that at some point.
A lot of Patterson.
Oh, woof. I also like Bills running back Zach Moss less than we didn't see him in week one. Healthy scratch. He's been lighting it up since scoring 3 touchdowns over the last 2 games and actually ended up taking the majority of snaps in the Bills' backfield last week, going off 91 total yards and a touchdown, like a little balance to this offense. His next 3, by the way, against the Texans, the Chiefs, and the Titans. They give up lots of points. They can't stop their run. Any of those squads, they've proven it at least. So absolutely play Zach Moss. And lastly, Panthers running back. 2 Panthers on the list. How about it? Chuba Hubbard. I wish I had that Schrager jersey to lift
up.
Christian McCaffrey sidelined for a few weeks. Hubbard taking on the bulk of the Panthers' backfield duties. He put up 79 yards on 14 touches when McCaffrey left this game. I'd expect him to be a solid option week to week with CMC owners are trying to weather the storm and always good to have a handcuff. So there you have it, guys. Tuesday, waiver claim time. Here you go. Kirk Cousins, we've got 2 Panthers on the list. The quarterback with some nice matchups coming up and Zach Moss, especially against the run. Chuba Hubbard with some nice favorable matchups as well. Zach Moss. Cordarrelle Patterson. He's the thing. He's top 10, so get it done. I also said to start Odell Beckham Jr. last week. He had a massive debut. Hadn't seen him since October of the year previous. He was back on the field getting all those targets while Jarvis Landry is on IR. We'll give you our thoughts on Odell's return, plus more. It's Taco About It Tuesday. Hit us up with what you're thinking about and what you want to talk about at GMFB. Welcome back to Good Morning Football. We are a really hip, super young, with it show. So we are doing Taco Tuesday still. So we'll get some things off our chest. We're going to talk about it, Peter.
Okay, Rams-Buccaneers was a cool game.
Yeah.
And it was an awesome football game. But I grew up in the 1980s and 90s where you would go to a L.A. Laker game or you'd see one on TV where I was in New Jersey. Well, I'd be like, oh, my God, Jack Nicholson's in the house? Diane Cannon? Arsenio Hall?
Yeah.
That had that feel.
Hollywood. Yeah, it's different than football. LA. Hollywood.
Football's never had this. Look at the crew here. We got Magic at the game. Larry David in the house. I love it. Larry looking great. Just, totally. Jason Sudeikis in the house.
Trigger.
The whole crew was there. The whole Ted Lasso, Coach Beard was there. Mike Tyson in the house. I mean, this was like, it's not one celebrity. Then you got Sugar Ray Leonard just enjoying life there.
Who's that?
Eric Dickerson. Yep. I mean, it was awesome. And then, of course, you had the whole NBA crew. Kawhi and Paul George. Chris Paul was there.
Apple time.
LeBron was there. Dave Winfield was in the house.
Oh, right.
And North Turner in front of Dave Winfield in the house. It was awesome. And I got to say, we've had the L.A. Coliseum host football games since the Rams came back. And last year, SoFi was there. There are no fans. I think this was the vision from Stan Kroenke, from Kevin Demoff, but also from the league office when they said, football in L.A., how can we galvanize it? I thought it was so cool. The football was great, but there was a lot of star watching, too, and I was into it. Dave Winfield, North Turner, they're now friends.
That's awesome. Who do we need to see at one of these games?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, that was pretty good. That's those pretty are A-listers. Good.
Yeah. Was there a concession for Kyrie? It's a whole bag of apples for, what's his name?
What's
the guy who drinks the bag of apples? The star, you just showed him. It's not Kyrie, it's the basketball guy.
Kawhi
George?
Kawhi, I was calling him Kyrie.
I knew the NBA.
The joke was about a bag of apples. I totally butchered it. I'm not going to butcher this, though.
Okay.
We've had so many people come through since Nate left, and we've had Michael Robinson, who's long since retired, D'Angelo Hall retired, Chris Carter long since retired. There's a buzz having you here, Golden, because you're not done, and you got some football left to play. Right now, the Denver Broncos are undefeated. They have a very good quarterback, a very likable quarterback, a very good defense. Jerry Jeudy got hurt. KJ Hamler got hurt. Why are they not calling Golden Tate? Since 2014, the yards after the catch leaders in the NFL. Travis Kelce 1, Golden Tate 2.
ahead of Jarvis, ahead of Julio. Golden, look at the logo next to your name. It's just NFL, because you don't have a team. The Broncos can do something special this year. They've had bad injury luck at wideout. I think they need you. I know you want to play with a good team. Now you want to play in a good community. If the Broncos call you after this segment, you want to go for a workout?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've heard great things about the city of Denver, of course, and I like what they're doing over there. So I would definitely hop on the plane.
George you know Payton.
Send the jet. Come on.
Send the jet send for the Golden jet. Tate. That's
it. Maybe that part is why.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's just say I'll be there, not send the jet.
Hey, I got... Yeah.
What kind of caviar do they need to put on the jet? We want to find you a job. You got more football to play. What did you say? Old head, young legs?
That's right.
I think you go win some football games for the Broncos. That's my take on it.
All right. Like, let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. I just want to play some football.
What do you want to talk?
Oh. Yeah.
Odell, right?
Yeah. My talk about it is going to be Odell. I don't know if I was on a plane and I just didn't hear much, but, I mean, we need to talk about one of the best receivers in the world coming back and coming back playing 64% of the plays. Coming back and having almost 80 yards.
Were you impressed?
Yes. I mean, he looked great to me. And listening to his presser, he said, you know, I just felt like I couldn't get my legs under me. Well, dang, your legs look pretty dang good for me. To me. I mean, in the play, 64% of the plays out the gate. That's impressive. I mean, it's timely that he come back with juice out. And but that's going to be my taco about it.
You still have it? Without you see, like, in a big way, like he's a game-breaker, game-changer.
Do bears poop in the forest?
That's what they say. That's what they say. They also do it in Cleveland.
Of course he has it. He has it. He didn't even have his feet under him. So, yeah. I think Odell's back. They're going to have to lean on him with juice out, and I'm excited to see him. And, you know, football needs Odell back.
I agree.
And all their stars back, man. You love seeing those guys show up and show out. So I'm happy to have him back.
Yeah, the Broncos just tweeted, you didn't seem that excited about joining them, so they're moving
on. Yeah,
do you want to correct that?
I mean, it's like...
Look, my bags are already packed, okay? Outside.
Who's on your list?
I will be there, okay? Just let me know. I'm checking my phone. I don't see a flight confirmation yet.
Okay. Guys, send the jet for this dude. He's great.
All eyes will be on Foxborough this week as Tom Brady returns for the first time as a visitor when the Bucs take on the Patriots. We don't even need to mention the history TB12 had with the Patriots, but he told Jim Gray, don't expect a trip down memory lane here.
You know, I'm not going to necessarily reminisce. I don't think this is the moment for that. And I'll have plenty of opportunities to reminisce about my football career. None of which I really care to do right now because I'm so much in the moment. And, I'm not going to be thinking about, you know, 20 years of history. I'm going to be thinking about one night of football, a Sunday night game coming off a really tough loss. They're coming off a really tough loss. So both teams are going to be fighting and clawing for a win. One thing I learned from the Patriots, Belichick would say, listen, if you love football, then, you know, 8:30 on Sunday night at Gillette Stadium is the place to be.
Now, outside of the Super Bowl, this could be the most highly anticipated game on the calendar. And even though Brady and Belichick will probably undersell this game, okay, guys, we should mention at least Gronk, too. He's going to be making his return to Foxborough for the first time as well.
Good call.
That's so true. Thank you so much, Will. Brady mentioning this is not the time to reminisce about his 20 years, his two decades in New England. We don't know if he's downplaying that or not, as he told us on the shop. You kind of can't believe anything he says, but there's not any single doubt that this is one of the most anticipated regular season games ever. I get to be in Foxborough for this one with Willie McGinnis on Game Day Morning. I cannot wait to be at the game, the energy, all of it. What are you guys most looking forward to when he makes his return?
I just want to see his emotions. I know from my experiences of being back in Seattle or Detroit and seeing everyone, I just got to really try to keep my emotions in check because you're so excited to be back. And, like, you know, it's a huge part of you. Like, I mean, he spent pretty much all of his career there.
Yeah.
So to be going back to that place and trying not to reminisce is going to be tough. But I expect him to shake it off, focus, and absolutely just have a killer game and ball out. And then Gronk's, you know, I can't wait to see what he has. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just a big goofball. Uh-huh. So he's going to have some fun out there. But I expect Foxborough and everyone just to welcome him and be thankful.
No boos, right?
I can't imagine they would boo him. I mean, what did he do wrong?
What if he scores a rushing touchdown and just spikes the hell out of it and screams? Isn't there something in fans that'll just immediately boo? I wonder.
No, I don't see Tom Brady doing that. I see him going in there and just trying to torch them, mm-hmm. but still paying respect and saying thank you, fans, for everything you guys did. And
like a wave to the crowd.
That's yeah, I mean, you know, you saw him in L.A. kind of sitting up there looking at the stands. I feel like he's going to do something like that, you know, just kind of like take it all in. Like, this could be the last time I'm ever here.
Sure. Yeah.
So. I know we all can't wait to see it. I mean, hope for a good game.
No doubt.
We're saying that they're underselling it. Belichick's going above and beyond and underselling
How
it.
So?
I'm not sure if you saw this quote on Monday. I thought this was actually very dismissive of Tom Brady. And I'm going to say this quote here. This is on Monday morning. Sunday night, we line across from Tampa. And you know what? It's not just him, but the entire team, he said. This is where it gets me, though. It's like that every week. There are guys on New Orleans, Chris Hogan for one, that have been on our team, and then they're on another team, and that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
To me, that is like...
Just an employee.
And it speaks to everything Alex Guerrero said last week, speaks to everything Brady's dad said. Like, can't you just give him an inch? Mm-mm. Can't you say, I respect the heck out of Tom, and I cannot wait to see it? No. Brings up Chris Hogan. That we played Chris Hogan on Sunday.
Incredible. Incredible.
That's why this has such a juice to it to me. I know. Just, Daddy, give me some love.
It's a great point.
Even if you would have said, you know, Will Fork or Seymour, like, you can't Chris Hogan, Tom Brady. We love Chris, but come on. There's a painting called The Surrender, and it depicts April 9th, 1865. It is when Generals Grant and Lee shook hands, ending the Civil War. This now will become the biggest handshake since then, I think. I'm looking for the end of the game. Yeah. Whatever it is, Belichick, Brady, we will break this down next week. Is it a handshake? Is it a hug? Is it a handshake hug? Is it terse? Is it warm? Are there words exchanged? There will be 50 deep photographers around the two of them, because that picture of whatever that handshake will be on the cover of multiple books. Hey, in just one moment, we'll be joined by Dan Hansis. But first, let's take a look at his Week 4 power rankings on NFL.com. We always do this with a theme, and since our friend is here today, let's do it with a theme of golden. Ooh. Golden. Let's first go to the Golden Globes tier. I miss Ricky. I really do. I ain't the same without him. The Jets sitting up at 32. Jacksonville looking for a chance to climb out of there tomorrow night against the Bengals. And then the Giants. Oh, Peter, you were saying it last segment. Giants football. Bears 29. All right, moving on to the ungolden pond division to satisfy the octogenarian set. Bottom right corner, Washington having a real problem, got blown out by the Bills. Patriots in front of Super Bowl 55.5 this week at 23. Then you got your Eagles, Dolphins, Bengals over there at 2-1 at 19 above the Steelers and Saints. Now, moving on to the golden tee division. IPA bros crow hopping and blowing out their shoulder, trying to drive it 400 yards. Bottom upper left corner. Vegas Raiders at 9. Chargers also in the AFC West at 10. Then your Cardinals, Broncos. God, the AFC West is loaded. Panthers undefeated at 13. Cowboys last night 14. Titans and then Vikings. And finally, let's move on to the Golden Eye division. Not the movie. The N64 cartridge pistol stack.
He's still got the Chiefs top 8, huh?
He still has them there. All right, Rams, Bucks, Packers, Bills. Peter's talking about the Chiefs at number 6. He says they're better than the Niners and the Browns, but not quite the Ravens, who they actually lost to. So much to talk about, so let's get him in here. Dan Hansis, the man behind the power. Good morning, Dan. How are you feeling?
Good morning, and if you were in college in the late 90s, it was so annoying every dorm room you went into. GoldenEye, GoldenEye. You know, go out, get a life, kids.
Screen goes red. Man, the screen does not go red for the Rams. They are the number one spot for the Buccaneers. After their head-to-head victory in Week 3, are you, Dan Hansis, giving more credit to the Matthew Stafford-Sean McVay connection or the defensive prowess shown against Tampa's rushing game? What do you think?
I don't know if Tampa really has a rushing game, and that's not to take nothing away from what Los Angeles did on defense, but Tom Brady threw for over 400 yards. So I will focus on the offensive side of the ball. And this whole Matthew Stafford revitalization project, sometimes we talk ourselves, and you guys know it because you have to do so many hours every week in the summer, you talk yourself to your blue in the face with these narratives and these storylines and these hypotheticals, and then they all look so dumb by week 3, but not in this case. This has absolutely worked out perfectly this marriage between Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. And they just have so many playmakers. And Cooper Kupp, I think, is the guy that really jumps out to you as an all-pro potential talent this year. But DeSean Jackson, we don't know how long we're going to have him, because it always seems to last a couple of weeks and then he disappears till next September. But let's enjoy him while he's here, because he still moves like he's 23.
Crushing it at the age of 34. Dan Hanzus joining the show.
Hey,
let's talk about the Chiefs. They dropped to number 6. Hey! Shock, horror. Chiefs at 6. They fell to the Chargers. I want to ask you what the biggest obstacle is that they need to overcome on offense. Don't just say limit the turnovers. What do you got, Dan? Give me something.
Yeah, because the turnovers stink, and they had 3 of them that blew up their game plan on Sunday, and the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble on Sunday night, that stunk. But, you know, all that stuff, you think they're going to get ironed out, and it feels more fluky. The real problem is that division. I mean, the Raiders are 3-0, Broncos 3-0, Chargers are 2-1. We'll see about the Broncos, whether they're legit or not. But the Raiders obviously are, and the Raiders gave the Chiefs all they could handle last year. So this is not going to be a cakewalk to 13-4. The Chiefs are going to be slugging it out all year in this division, and they're just going to have to be sharper than they have been.
Dan the Man, how you doing? It's Golden Tate.
What's up?
What's up, nice Golden? To see you.
How are you? Nice to see you.
Good, good. You don't sound.
Are we friends now? This is great.
Anyways.
What's up?
Anyways, my question is, you now have the entire AFC West in your top 12 teams. The Raiders are ranked number 9 and the Broncos are ranked at number 12. Are we getting a little too overexcited about these two teams based on their strength of schedule?
No. Well, the Raiders, no. I think the Raiders have beaten some good teams and they deserve to be in the top 10, even though if I kind of begrudgingly bump them in there, because what you're saying, it holds some water. We want to see this over a longer stretch. We've seen how they've faded in past Decembers the last 2 years, but so far, so great for the Raiders. The Broncos are a totally different case. And, you know, Kyle Seth teed this up by showing the full rankings. The Broncos have beaten the Giants, Jaguars, and Jets in the first 3 weeks. Those are teams 30, 31, and 32 in the power ranking. So they have Baltimore at Pittsburgh, Vegas at Cleveland coming up. We're about to see what they're really all about. But you can only play your schedule and all that, and they have played it very well. Now they got to beat some decent teams. Bad teams are beating, not okay teams, bad teams.
Bad teams is right. None of those teams have won a game yet in Denver, so it's hard for us to really do it. Summertime, I was on the show and I'm like, the team we're not talking about are the Seahawks. They got Shane Waldron. Russell Wilson's my MVP pick. They're 1-2, and they're now 17 on your rankings. They don't have an easy game up ahead next week either, as they face the 49ers. Seahawks, let's do a little. Have they ever been in the bottom half of your power rankings? I don't think so. What do you got?
I don't think so. And it's been really bad on the defensive side of the ball. It's been a little funky on the offensive side of the ball, by the way. I'm not saying it's a problem, but they're number 1 in expected points per drive in the first half this year in the league and number 32 in the second half. So that's funky, but they can't cover in the secondary right now. They're not pressuring the quarterback. They can't stop the run. They can't get off the field on third downs. Now, Pete Carroll is a defensive coach by nature. The Seahawks have they have built a program that's about winning. Golden Tate knows that, and they know how to adjust, so they will. But right now, they have so many issues to work out. And I think the comeback by Tennessee was really unfortunate and a stomach punch for them. And then they went to Minnesota and got some bad luck because the Vikings were in a foul mood after their start to the season. And that's an underrated home field advantage in Minnesota. That Viking horn was just going off on repeat with Midwesterners screaming the whole time. So some bad luck schedule-wise. But their defense really needs to get it together. This is as bad as I could remember it.
Dan, they're going to need to go supersonic to get back where they're used to being on the power rankings. Be sure to check out NFL Power Rankings presented by Energizer every Tuesday on NFL.com. And in primetime Tuesdays on NFL Network, Dan, will you be hearing from fans who have criticism of your rankings? I would say definitely maybe.
Live forever, everybody.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.